Good evening, and welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha, where we meditate and where we're learning how, as beginners, how to So we are going to lesson six. We're in lesson six already. So tonight I want to start with a quote from Albert Einstein. He's usually worth listening to. He said, "A new type of thinking is essential if mankind is to survive and move towards higher levels." Do we not see that today? And William James says, "We are capable of pointing ourselves to other types of consciousness or ways of knowing which are discontinuous with our rational mind and screened from us by the veil of our attachment to our rational mind." And he cautioned us against prematurely closing our accounts with reality before we had incorporated these other ways of knowing. Other ways of knowing is exactly what we're practicing in insight meditation, because the rational mind certainly is there, but we're getting to know its true nature. And so what we learn is there's a lot of information beyond the rational mind. But of course, how do we touch that? And so that's one of the things that happens in meditation. It's a knowing beyond the rational mind. So we're learning how to sit still and be still. And it seems that the mind we rely on has trapped us in all kinds of ways, even in the tyranny of our own creation. And if that's true, and we have to find that out for ourselves, then we are responsible for this tyranny. We begin to learn that the mind can be retrained. Hallelujah for that. That's nice to know. And we don't have to stay trapped in these thoughts and mind states that drive us crazy. We begin to accept them. You think, "Ooh, I never thought that was going to happen." But that's the key, is recognizing them. Because when we recognize what's going on, we don't identify so much with it. And we see that if we're sitting quiet and still and long enough, they're not about us in some respect. But we don't have to stay trapped in these hellish mind states. Because guess what? Naturally, Buddha says, the mind is luminous. Oh, I want to see that luminous mind. And we do. We see it. So when we follow the path of mindfulness, we begin to see a variety of our mind traps. And I've said before, all of my teachers have said what we suffer from more than anything is the mind. and it's tyranny. And it's optional. We don't have to, but we didn't know that by studying what's going on inside, that there is much more clarity about not only ourselves, but about how to live. So mindfulness seems to free us from the trivia of life, along with the freedom from just identifying with all our thoughts, identifying with feelings in our minds, emotions. Doesn't mean that we get to know them in a different way and we relate to them in a different way. And that shifts us a bit. So whenever we meditate, there's going to be times that the mind will frustrate us many times by what the teachings call the hindrances. And Randy described those, the five hindrances that will come up in our meditation practice, all our meditation practice. And it doesn't matter if you practice for a while or this is your first practice. So it's desire, wanting things to be other than they are, and many other things to talk about desire, the wanting mind. And then aversion, pushing parts of life away that we don't want. But what we find is when we're not accepting of all of life, it separates us from life. I mean, doesn't that make kind of sense? So there is a way to live and to honor and be most happy with understanding and knowing and relating to all aspects of our life. And you say, not that part. Yes, that part. That part and all the other parts that we don't want to go to, because that's therapeutic. Western psychology teaches us that also. So we have this restlessness, certainly.
Is that the third one?
That's the third one. Did I say aversion? Restlessness, sloth, and torpor, don't want to do it. Takes up too much energy. It's too disciplined. It's not easy to be disciplined. We know that. And then doubt. Doubt, there's good doubt. And it's the doubt of, okay, I want to see if these teachings are true to me. And that's part of the teaching, because the Buddha says, don't trust anyone but yourself. And so as we hear these teachings, it's important that we will directly experience these things, because then they become truth for us. So it's the five hindrances we're talking about. And these five hindrances are the reason they're so important to just be reminded of it, but they can stop us from wanting to meditate. And from where I sit, that would be a huge loss. And so Steve, you can put up our document now. Let's look at them again so we can kind of see them when they're in written form. Helps a bit. Because traditionally they are named desire, aversion, restlessness, sloth and torpor, and doubt. Tara Brach calls them the hindrances, calls them just energies. And Sharon Salzberg humorously calls them in her happiness book greedy, grumpy, anxious, slothful, doubtful. We can relate to that. So there's an ongoing joke in the Buddhist circles that we can actually have what's called a multiple hindrance attack. And usually that comes when we sit for long periods of time. So it's going to happen. But what is so wonderful about these teachings is we're not going to be surprised by it, and we're not going to overreact. We're just going to, oh, I heard about you. I knew you were coming up. Now I see you. Welcome. Welcome? Absolutely. Welcome. And so this is the way the Buddha described the hindrances. He uses the example of a pool of clear water that reflects our image. When sense desire, the first one, is present in the mind, wanting, the wanted mind, it is as if the pool were suffused with colored dye. Desires color our perceptions. That's where we are, waking up. Are we perceiving the truth about ourselves and about life? And that takes right effort. And so aversion, the second one, when aversion is present, it is like boiling water. We can't see clearly. And when we're heated up by anger or really any emotion that we all have, we're in a state of turbulence. We know we've been there. Look forward to being there again. Not really. But at least we know that's part of life that's to be known. So sloth and torpor, like the pool overgrown with algae. It's kind of like a stagnation of the mind, the Buddha says, that prevents us from seeing clearly. And restlessness and worry, or we worry warts, are like water when it is stirred up by the wind. The mind is tossed about by agitation. So, and then we have doubt. It's like muddy water where we can't see to the bottom. And everything's obscured. We're not seeing clearly. And the Buddha says when we attend to these states carefully, we learn to see into their true nature. They're just empty. They're transparent. We no longer get caught up in their seductive power and stop doing the thing that's going to wake us up. Which, that is a huge loss. So they become the focus of our mindfulness. We know them. We've been told about them. And so we're going to look for them. That and many things we talk about in the teachings to look for. And the Buddha says they are the very vehicle of our awakening. Again, not shutting out anything in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So when they do come up, and they will in our practice, they take us away from clarity of the present moment. And the present moment is the only place clarity is found. So we understand that that's important. And then if we don't notice them, then what we do is we just make stories up about them. All kinds of things we do. And sometimes make a decision around them. Because we were impatient enough to just kind of watch them go away. So desire, aversion, restlessness, sloth and torpor, doubt. These energies can be quite strong, as you well know, if we're sitting longer periods of time. And so with sitting, having a daily practice, we can look forward to them. Oh, I'm sure they may have already come up. But of course, like anything else, the more practice, the better we get to know them. So we're not wanting to push them away. We're just wanting to get to know them. And it doesn't matter how long we've meditated for, if we've meditated for a long time or just recently, they're available to us. And they keep us from being fully present. And we become preoccupied with them. Desire, the wanting mind. How many times do we wake up to our wanting mind? Not just in this meditation with the hindrances, but all day long. And again, this begins to help us recognize these states off the cushion. So, aversion, not wanting things to be as they are. And we already know that life has a life of its own. So, what to do with all those things? Because it's okay not to like, or it's okay to like, and it's okay to have a natural feeling to a neutral feeling towards life. That's in our DNA. That came with us from our ancestors. So that comes up quite quickly. But then what we do with them next is what catches us. What are we adding to them? That's where we add our stories and get caught up in a fairy tale. And certainly, I've been to a lot of long retreats, and these mind states definitely show up. And again, the teachers say they are to be known and honored. And so they're mind states that come and go in all of us and can cause a lot of suffering if we don't know how to work with them. So hindrances are... can be thoughts, sensations, emotions, or like these things. Hindrances are like our thoughts, our sensations, and emotions. They have a nature that arises and falls away. And it's that any time that we can see the impermanence of any of these phenomena that we are directly experiencing it, it is grist for the mill. So that's important. And then sensations are, let's go back to where I was. Let's look up there. Ill will, where am I? Sloth and torpor. Ill will or aversion. Did I talk about that? Yes. Stay awake, Anita. Stay awake. Sloth and torpor. Can't tell you how laziness or how don't want. Randy and I have practiced for years to exercise every day. We've got this little routine with Julian. Remember Julian? She was that sweetheart that did the... Biggest Loser, Well, she had this little... Julian Michaels. And this is how old this practice is. It's on a DVD. So we do it every morning. And no, we don't do it every morning. We wish we did it every morning. But that, we know, that's got to be something that we're going to talk about. But one of us has to talk the other one into it. Otherwise, it doesn't get done. Now, did we do that exercise this morning? No, we didn't. But we set our minds to at least put forth to effort to try to do some type of exercise every day, because old age makes you even lazier. I mean, it feels good, you know, to be lazy. And I'm not saying there's not there certainly are times where we really want to enjoy the present moment without doing. That's not what I'm talking about. But then restlessness, doubt, they come to us regardless of if we're sitting in meditation. So it just behooves us to know that these are mind states or energies, our hindrances. The main thing at the beginning of our practice when we start is not to overreact to them. And as we'll study more, and you can see in the document, that RAIN is something that we will use the acronym RAIN in all the things that we come up that we don't know. We are going to recognize everything, and we're going to accept it, and we're going to investigate it with a very curious mind. And that curious mind arises deeper as we practice, believe it or not, because it's like, wow, I hadn't seen that before. Oops, wow. So the interest rises quite naturally. And then the end is we don't have to identify with whatever's coming up. Just don't have to do it. We just know that it's part of nature. It's part of being a human being. And we don't have to react to it. But we do want to know it so we can relate to it in proper ways. So with that, I'm going to stop, and we're going to open it up to you. Steve, you can take the document off. Thank you for being good listeners. And now we'll ask you, what do you think about all that?